A man and his wife were sitting in the living room one evening after supper discussing their living will. They had been meeting with their lawyer and were really just getting all things together. And at this point, the husband very seriously said, "Honey, I want you to hear this. I want to make this perfectly clear. It's just so, are you listening to me?" She said, "Yes, honey, I'm listening to you." He said, "Just so you know, I want to be very clear. I never want to live in a vegetative state, dependent on some machine and fluids from a bottle. Do you understand me? If that ever happens, just pull the plug." His wife got up immediately, unplugged the TV, and threw out all his beer. I heard that's what happened. Our Father expects that when we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will be radically changed. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he tells us through St. Paul, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." This transformation is to be a metamorphosis, for the Greek word for transformed is metamorpho. And it is a change of the magnitude at least comparable to that by which a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Our Father expects us to be totally different. And sacred scripture uses many different images to express the change that should and must occur. We become a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come, as we hear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It is almost as if we become a new species. Scripture speaks of the first Adam, who was earthly and fell into sin, and the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who was sinless and holy. We are to be made new in the attitude of your minds, as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 reminds us. We put off your old self and put on the new self in that same chapter and in the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. We live by the Spirit and not by the flesh, as Galatians and Romans reminds us. We become instruments of righteousness rather than instruments of wickedness, Romans chapter 6, verse 13. We have been buried with him through baptism into death in order that we may live a new life, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. As Paul especially said in Galatians chapter 2, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." We have been set free from sin and become slaves to God. And we are no longer slaves to sin, which leads to death, but have become slaves to obedience, which leads to righteousness. We are rescued from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. Our citizenship and our allegiance has been changed. We have become adopted sons and daughters of God. In the prologue to John's Gospel and in Romans chapter 8. And we are born again, as John chapter 3 reminds us, and as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. born from above of the Spirit and not the flesh. Each of these metaphors in a different way emphasizes the magnitude of the change that is expected. Each is dramatic and astonishing in itself. Their cumulative effect is even more powerful. We are talking about a tremendous transformation. It should be visible to others, but its internal effect should be far greater than what others can perceive. And these are things that are offered by God's grace. One, to become God, like God in character. This whole concept can be summed up in the simple and astonishing statement that we are to become like God, not like God in power. We can never aspire to that. Although we can move in much greater power than many Christians have ever imagined, but like God in character. We are to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Number two, to live for the things that are unseen. As we pray the creed today, we acknowledge that God is the creator of all things visible and invisible. There is so much more to reality and all of creation than we can perceive and apprehend through the five senses. And as St. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Again in chapter 5, verse 7, he says, we live by faith, not by sight. Number three, to live by the Spirit. It is because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us that we are able to be transformed. But this process is not instantaneous. The Holy Spirit inhabits our spirit, but our soul and body need to be brought under the Spirit's control. And finally, to be yielded to God. Part of what living by the Spirit means is that we are wholly yielded, gifted back to God. Paul puts it this way: we are no longer slaves to sin, which leads to death, but slaves to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Submit yourselves then to God. And Jesus tells us, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And there are three commands of Jesus that we are to focus on at this time in a very particular way. The first is, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Holiness means to be in communion, in a solid and loyal relationship with God the Father. Jesus shows us what holiness looks like: commitment, perseverance, sacrifice, courage, mercy, compassion, wisdom, joy, which are all fruits of the Spirit. Number two, be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. The mercy we have received we are to give freely to others. And finally, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. There are a couple of things we need to understand about this statement. In the first place, the word that is translated perfect literally means be complete. So often, the New Testament and Old Testament will describe people as being upright and righteous, not in the sense that they have achieved total moral perfection, but rather that they have reached a singular level of maturity in their growth in terms of spiritual integrity. For example, be complete as your Heavenly Father is complete. Now remember that your Heavenly Father is perfectly complete. So if we are to mirror God in these ways, we are to mirror him in his moral excellence, as well as in other ways. In fact, the basic call to a person in this world is to be a reflection of the character of God. That's what it means to be created in the image and likeness of him. Long before the Sermon on the Mount, God required the children of Israel to reflect his character when he said to them, "Be you holy, even as I am holy." He set them apart to be holy ones, and even more because of the indwelling Spirit, are we called apart. The New Testament word for this is saint.